Welcome to the Abnormally Funny People Show with your hosts, Simon Minty and Steve Best. This podcast is sponsored by Barclays. For more information, please see our website, abnormallyfunnypeople.com. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Abnormally Funny People Show, number 14. I'm Simon Minty.
Hello, and I'm Steve Best. We're back from Edinburgh. The fringe is over.
Yes, we are, and yes it is. It's 26 shows with just one day off.
I didn't have a day off, actually, Mr. Minty. I had to come back to London, do you remember?
For
London town.
Your builder.
The builders.
Should we not talk about that again?
Not
all month again.
Give me a headache.
Okay. This month's show, we're going to be talking all things Edinburgh, about the highs and the lows.
We're going to talk about the reviews and talk about other shows we saw.
And we've got two of the 12 acts who perform with Abnormally Funny People right here with us.
We have Mr. Steve Day and Mr. Lawrence Clark. Lawrence is a stand-up and has been for some 15 years. Hello, Mr. Lawrence Clark.
Hi.
And we have, quote, ferociously funny Steve Day. Steve Day is a regular performer in comedy clubs up and down Britain and was part of the original Edinburgh lineup for Abnormally Funny People in 2005.
2005. I'm Britain's only deaf comedian. There are only others I haven't heard. I have to say that. Sorry. Don't stop me.
I've never heard that joke.
No.
No.
Not since August.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Ferociously funny.
Ferociously funny. Yeah, I'm not ferociously funny.
You are ferociously funny, but Kate Copstick, who did the review in The Scotsman,
Forgot him.
And amazingly,
yeah.
She reviewed when Steve Day wasn't on.
Yeah, I was that good. I was carried
over. She loved it. She had seen an earlier show and loved it. I spoke to her.
Compared to the forgettable Lawrence Clark. She put that in her.
I spoke to her when she was reviewing. I said, this is the lineup. She said, where's Steve Day? And I said, he's gone home now. Because the lineup changed all the time. And she's like, oh, I really enjoy it. I'm going to put him in anyway. And I'm like, all right, fair enough. Yeah. I said, Steve Best and Simon Minty producers. Didn't get a mention.
No. Popular producers.
He was at home with his builders. Forgettable.
Rather than a particular moment this month, we thought we'd all talk about the many moments of the month with Abnormally Funny People being at the Edinburgh Fringe this August.
We performed at the Stand in the Square, which is St Andrew's Square in Edinburgh, and we did it for 26 nights. It's a different lineup on many of the nights. It was a constantly changing bill. There was a week or so when both Steve Day and Lawrence were both on the same bill. I keep saying Steve Day to distinct from Steve Best. Steve Day, you said on Facebook after Edinburgh, you were only there for a week, but it felt like a real shot in the arm.
Did it? Yeah, no, it was all right. It was good.
Is that because you took
to drugs? Is
that because you took to drugs?
Yeah, it seemed like longer, but no, it was good fun because I was just there and then I went. Yeah.
But why the shot in the arm?
Well, I was the best in it. But it's just the funniest one.
Was it the ferociously funny quote that got
savagely,
you?
Ferociously funny.
Steve, tell me why it was a shot in the arm.
Because it was just good fun. That's what comedy should be. And I had no worries. Yeah. And
I thought it gave you a push.
Really has. Yeah, okay. It was a momentum shift and game changer. I don't know, that's how I hit that word. Yeah. But because it was just such fun. Because the gigs after I come back have been great with the Abnormally Funny People boost.
Yes, okay.
That I've had. So it was good.
Lawrence.
I think also for me, before here, I met with my agent and she asked me to what do I want to do in the next year. And normally, she asks me this a lot, and normally I don't know what to say about doing more comedy, obviously, but I've moved off a big list of things just because doing Abnormally Funny and doing the run-up there, it was like I had all the best bits of Edinburgh, but without the worst bits, because you two, Simon and Steve Best.
I think you'll find it was more me there. Yeah, Simon will.
Had all the kind of worries about your money and bums on seats and reviewers and organising, and those are all the things that kind of spoil it in a way.
So you two were just performers, the artists, the comedians.
Yeah.
Turn up, do your stuff.
Well, if you work for Abnormally Funny People, you never have to worry about money ever again. That's the thing.
Go on.
Because you've not got any.
we haven't. Nobody got paid.
But we did have the best admin on the Fringe. Yeah. With Simon, with his admin.
You're still pointing to Simon.
I'm pointing at Simon because, you know, people are laughing and they're laughing at the admin.
There was a moment we shared the flat and I came out and I was busy with my computer, and Steve sort of said, Steve Day said, what are you up to? And I said, I'm really busy, I'm doing admin. And he went, oh yeah, because that's really going to improve the show. You're going to get the award for best admin of
the
Adam.
That sarcastic voice, Horace. You can't have a show without good admin.
But I've got to say one thing about Simon. He does a good spreadsheet.
Thanks very much.
That organisation of spreadsheet was carefully worked out.
It was, although there was that joy of one night. I don't know if you were still up there, Steve, David, when we had one act who turned up who wasn't even on that night, and then there was another act who wasn't turning up, and there was this little panel. Normally you just think, great, we'll switch them around, but it was a real fiddle, and well, 5 minutes before we were about to start,
that's why Lost Voice guy, I think, turned
and
up Carol on the wrong
night.
That's all shocking.
Yeah, but the thing is, in the end, I think this is, we can go on to this in a minute, is the fact that from people kind of not sure whether on, well, they knew they were on, they all wanted to be on, I think, in the end. That's the thing. So people, even if they weren't on one night, wanted to be on.
The night I came back, for the last weekend, Gareth told me they were fighting over my slot if I didn't turn up.
I didn't know about that.
When Lawrence wasn't on and he came and protested, he came picketed outside and looking sad in his wheelchair. Can you remember?
I think Tan Lee was absolutely massively gutted when she wasn't on one of the nights. I think the last Friday, she came in, I think, and watched the show.
She didn't do it. I thought it was the Tanya Lee Davis show.
Well, there we go.
To give her credit, she did do every night pretty much, but there was one I said no, and there were reasons for that, and it was all planned anyway. But yeah, she was. Well, you know what? It reminded me, there was the day off. You have the day off in the middle of the run, and I was sharing at that point with Steve Day and Tanya Lee Davis. And for me, this was a joy. It's the first day I could relax completely. I was sitting in my room watching films on Netflix, just eating lovely food. Steve Day and Daniel Lee, just, you'd walk around the flat and they're just sitting there really down, really bored, don't know what to do.
Did I tell you I had to go down and sort out my builders?
So was that just because you weren't on stage?
You need another shot in the arm.
Even like, I really wanted to do that last Saturday because I knew it would be a great night. Even though I knew I wasn't on, I still brought my iPad and all my leads.
Just in case.
You're right. If someone wasn't on one night, I would get about 6 texts during the day saying, every 2 hours, saying, are you sure you don't want me? And it would even be 8 o'clock. I might have a drink, but I won't have a drink if you want me to perform. And I'm like, no, you're not on.
The problem was, I think sometimes the bills were so strong that I was saying to Simon, let's just add on, you know, everybody does a bit less time. Yeah. But it would make the show just unbelievably strong, but I think that in the end, you the show would be too long.
And each act would get 30 seconds.
Well, that kind of thing, yeah.
And also, it wasn't the biggest stage.
It wasn't, no.
But I quite like the bitch fight we all had. I mean, you know, someone in a wheelchair is easier to novel. Just let the tyres down, you know. We didn't have a blind person, they'd have been easier. They're just, you know.
You're leading me on there. I think, me and Steve Best are calling it a bromance between Steve Day and Lawrence. So Lawrence,
I don't know where this comes from.
Lawrence had been there about a week. Steve Day came up for the second week. And when you came on, Steve Day, and you opened the show, ferociously funny, you just kind of came on with this force of nature and ripped into the rest of the disabled acts and every disabled comedian that's ever existed. Just absolutely, it was joyous.
I think so. We're due for it. We've been doing this for 10 years, and if one thing I've learned is never, don't like them lot, all those lot, I can't swear on this, can I? We're all fighting.
But for me, we were talking about this.
I wonder what you were doing. What were you doing?
For me,
I took some photos.
Some nice photos. That no one ever credited me for. I thought that was the moment that abnormally. I mean, we have done this before where Liz is ripped into people. But I thought when you came and did it so much, I thought that brought the show to a different level for me watching it, because I thought the audience then suddenly realised, wow, this is. They take the mickey out of each other. We can sit back.
I wasn't trying to do that. I was just
all
the resentment of 10 years.
I think also it makes it more than just a few comedians doing 10 minutes of their own material.
It was like a whole show.
I said 10 minutes.
You never did 10 minutes.
It was never 10 minutes. But it makes it a lot more, so put any of these up there doing their stuff, and me and Steve are pointing at us and saying to each other.
The thing about that was, I come on and slag off media whore Lawrence Clark.
Yeah, for being on every show.
On every rubbish show, like, you know, not, I said undateables to annoy him, yeah. So I knew that annoyed him. Yeah, I know he's not done that, because I knew it would annoy him, that's why. But all this rubbish on Channel 4, you know, like, we won't drop the baby, you know, and all that
rubbish.
What's
the other, oh, hang on, no,
mind you, drop the
embarrassing
microphone
bodies.
One,
embarrassing bodies.
I'll give you embarrassing bodies. I'm not my onion. He's sending undateables when my wife was in the audience.
Well, that's it. I knew it had annoyed
it was an
Lawrence.
Old series. It was an old series.
But Adele's a bit scary. And oh no. But I didn't know what he said back, which was great. And then we had the lady with the subtitles, with the Peletype. And then I found out what they were saying about me. I wasn't so keen on the whole thing after that.
But you two seemed to hit it, as Simon was saying, you seemed to hit it off more than the other two.
And all the acts were on stage at the same time.
Oh. I can make him crack up.
I love the night when we had it was me, Steve Tenney, and the Palantine best, because laughter, it was like surround sound, because the audience would laugh. About 10 seconds later, he would laugh after he read it on that, and that would make me laugh. Yeah. So it was like we were laughing at stuff that had gone like half a minute ago.
Also, I think the kind of taking the mickey out of each other developed really well, because like Tanya Lee actually was given a line by Richard Branch, I found out later on, one of our guests. With the three fingers. It was at the auction, wasn't it?
Yeah,
which was, you know, Lawrence puts his hand up a lot. And
have you explained what that joke was?
Steve tried to.
So Lawrence, you know, you put your hand up a lot. Well, not that
it's
much.
It's involuntary.
Involuntary, yeah. And so Tanner Lee says, you know, you'll be a nightmare at an auction. And then we've got a load of shitty furniture in our flat now, which is a lovely line. And so, you know, people weren't too worried about taking the mickey out of each other.
Well, what Tanner Lee didn't know was when she was doing... She does jokes, and her style is to sort of do a mime of that. Yes. And because she's a small person, and in a sort of package, it's really very funny. But then me and Lawrence would ape her doing the mime behind. Oh, there were some that we just had to like shield her eyes because they were just so kind of rude.
Did she ever know you were doing that?
No. And then and the audience were laughing at that, and she thought that they were laughing at her, and then she would do it more and more.
But you know what? Earlier in the run, I think Juliet would be up front, and Tanya Lee would be doing little things behind her, and Juliet would be going, oh, wow, I'm getting a big laugh. Yeah. And Tanya Lee would do it. But then you were doing it to her. Everyone's just kind of milking off each other, and nobody knows the true journey of that laugh.
This is where we needed to go, though, because before, it was, disabled comedians, aren't they lovely? And then now, we sort of went, my attitude was to go on there and say we're all, you know, fighting. It's an assistance dog eat assistance dog world.
It's so a lovely line.
You know,
yeah.
I've heard so.
I also love the, because I did a callback, a follow-up joke on Steve's famous and Whittacombe line that I'm not going to even bother explaining, because if you've not heard it, so I did a callback and said, yeah, that joke's copyright Steve Day 1995. And it was only when that we got the Palantine piece.
Yeah, that was absolutely untrue what he was saying. That my joke was not 2000, my joke was 1998. Got it wrong every night. It's like him being on the undateables.
So we did this thing that we shouldn't have done. We did improvisation, and the game we played was called Three-Headed Expert. You have three people lined up, and they're only allowed one word each, and they have to speak in a sentence while people are asking them questions. Now, there were some nights this was the joy. I remember the first night we did it, and we had Lost Voice Guy. So he doesn't speak. And he uses a voice synthesizer, so he types in the words. So every time you got to him, you had to wait 30 seconds, and then it would be if. And so it would be a real anti-climax. But I remember he corpsed, and that was one of my favourite moments, seeing Lost Voice Guy corpse. Because he knew the word he was going to say and was laughing, but he couldn't get it out, and so he would just keep laughing. But there were other nights it was quite hard. I mean, I love the fact that we did it, but people who are deaf, people who can't speak, people with different speech. We had Tourette's hero, Jess, who doesn't stop speaking. So
you've got to wait. You've got to wait for her the right word.
The first time I did it with Jess, and she said about 100 words. And so I said my word, and she went, no, I've not said it yet.
But her direction about that was saying, look, let me get out the word. She's going to come out with a load of old stuff, and then she's going to come out with words. So, but that was a funny line from her.
Yeah. You know that when we had token able-bodied people from the Comedy Store Players, who are the best in the world of doing this, and they were great, Andy Smart and Lee Simpson especially, to take the mess up and recycle it and chuck it back and keep the ball juggling, made it really, really funny. And he was keeping the improv going.
But that's the secret of great, the questionnaires, the really hard task, actually, a hard role.
But the thing about, and that was brilliant, and the laugh was more because not just the improvisation, but the laughter about us messing up and then it coming back and still being in the game. Mm. And then we made it brilliantly funny. And then Tanya Lee did it after the Comedy Store boys had gone left another night, and she would... learned from what they did what they did, plus the fact she's also disabled as well, and she was allowed to get mad with us, which made it really, really funny. Oh, she's a small person. She's allowed to get annoyed with the deaf guy.
I went to see the Comedy Store Players while I was there, and they did that activity that they did the 300 asthma. I sat there thinking, my God, what we do is nothing like this.
Oh, it's a complete mess compared to
a mess in a good way. It was so funny.
I think it was the last couple of nights we had people who could speak and hear perfectly straightforwardly, and it suddenly it just went round a few times. I'm like, is this how it's meant to happen? I've never seen it happen this smoothly. This is kind of bizarre.
If you'd have been a sort of moderately good improv troupe, it would have been boring as hell, wouldn't it? But we're a complete mess up, so we're completely useless at doing it. That was, to me, was the joy of it.
Your bit, you remind me, because when we would brief whoever was, if the Comedy Store Players were leading, you had, or even the token non-disabled, you had a different one every night, and you'd brief and you'd say, this is what we want you to do. And then you did a second brief, which was, now, we have disabilities, but you've got to forget about it. Just go for it, really go for it, and don't even worry about that. Because you had to do both, because otherwise they did pull back a little bit. But once they flew...
Once they saw that there was no... We're not making it, creating any barriers.
But don't forget, if they're playing the game properly, then they're just taking the answer from the expert and playing with that.
Nearly all the token able-bodied people who don't sort of know us that well, first of all, a bit shocked, then secondly, started to laugh, then three, joined in. And that just made it a sort of party atmosphere. That's
when
what
it
so
rocks,
good about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the token,
the token role, I think was because I think
Steve. Steve did the admin on the token non-disabled.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much.
So this is our
takes,
all,
takes photos.
Very good. So we're all disabled comedians, but we always have this token non-disabled who we take the mickey out of. But
And I was going to say though, because the original plan with Abnormally Funny People was the token role was kind of more or less a compare of the show. And I think this year, I thought it was a much better idea to we both discussed it, obviously, to have a really token role. So
it was great.
So you'd have, you know, quite famous acts coming on. We have Fred McCauley, we have Mike McShane, Robin Ince.
Joe Caulfield.
Simon Munnery,
All coming on.
Seymour Mace,
who got nominated in the end.
He went from
through doing that.
I did a tweet. Yeah, he went from being a token on our show to nominated for the Foster's Comedy Award.
Yeah, it was a complete
coincidence. Yeah.
But they played it very well, generally, didn't they? I think it was
your favourite?
And also, because we didn't have like a compare, it was more seemed free-form and flowing.
That's what a few people that saw it said they liked it. It felt quite raw and a bit dangerous, I think.
Unrehearsed.
I was trying not to say unrehearsed.
We worked so hard to create that unrehearsed look, didn't we?
And I think because the stage was so small, and particularly that night, there was me, Liz and Jess, there were three wheelchair users, and it was like an exercise in logistics.
That show rocked for me. That was on the last Friday, and I knew all the Disability Arts Gang were going to be coming. And I was kind of thinking, I really want them to love it, but I wanted us to do our stuff. And we're the sort of naughty rebels that we've not quite got in there. But anyway, and they came and it was a storming night. And there was that great moment. Liz had the microphone, and Liz is quite small. And then there was Lawrence next to her with cerebral palsy. And then there's Jess with Tourette's, who moves around a lot. And Liz said, we could get Steve Best to come up and pass the mic. Should we pass the mic and see how we get on? So she just passed it, and you saw everyone watching with it and just expecting this mic to go flying into the audience. And it was just this little leg, so arms swinging around. Eventually, the mic got to the end.
But there was a couple of times when, because I ended up just kind of more or less stage managing it, in the sense that there was a couple of nights where Jess was past the microphone and smacked it on her head, yeah. And you said, I've got to intervene there, kind of thing. So,
well, the problem is, because Jess will say, whatever I do, her big line would always be, you know, I'm not going to say my PIN number, 8542. Yeah. it's a great gag, such a great. And then she said, I mustn't bang my head on the microphone. Bang, bang. And she'd do it two or three times, and they're getting quite violent. And I mean, she knows what she's doing, but it's like, it's a tick.
This
she's
is
not
Tourette's hero.
Yeah, it? Absolutely.
The night I was over there, She got quite obsessed with me falling off the stage and starting going off the edge.
But I mean, initially, yeah. She came on one night and she'd broken a part of her wheelchair. And so she was actually very stressed and wasn't sure whether she was going to go on that night. Yeah. So then we kind of bricked it up. I mean, there's so much going on with...
Yeah, that was rehearsed as well, wasn't it? We planned that.
Sounds like sabotage. Juliet Burton did it. Let me on stage. My wheelchair's broke. I'm going to go. Give it to
me. I want this show. Yeah.
I can do it. Was that the night Chandler Lee wasn't on the bill?
That was weird.
Sabotage.
That leads us on nicely then to what you thought was your best, well, your favourite show. I mean, you weren't on all the nights, but was there a favourite show?
I think I was on about half, just over half.
Yeah, you must have done 12, 13.
Yeah.
And you were very good coming back. You did a run, went home and came back.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, it was really nice because normally when you leave Edinburgh, it's a big trip down there. But leaving, knowing I was coming back in a week to do it again.
We only asked you back because we know your son Tom was a good flyer.
Yeah. So. Well, that was a nice bit of, because 10 years ago, I had to drop out of the original show.
Yeah, he got a better offer, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. What a selfish career move that was.
It wasn't quite him.
Yeah.
I got Tom.
We're all ignoring
him. He wanted to be. He didn't get the top billing or the and. He said, if I get the end and Lawrence Clark, then I'm doing it.
It's all forgiven.
but Tom was great. Tom
was awesome.
Talked to it like Dr. Ward. We had him flying because, you know, can't get better than child labour.
Once he'd gone, our numbers dropped by 10-20%. It really did. There was a second week. I'm like, what's happened? And I'm like, there's no Tom. He's not out there. Did you have a favourite token not disabled one? Is there one that stood out for you?
They all played the part, didn't they? I really liked the Lee Simpson from Comedy Store Players. Yeah. Was brilliant on that particular night. Yeah. But I loved them all. Robin Ince took it so well that he did half a joke. My favourite show of our shows was when Lawrence, who cheats by playing videos in his
a bit
set,
like Lost Voice guy pre-programmed. They all cheat.
But they all broke, and his tech wouldn't work. That was... The discomfort on Lawrence's face was just hilarious. It's my favourite part was him, what do I do now? Well, but then my laughter turned, because we had to play the improv game for like double the length of time, and it was torture. I was looking up thinking, please come up, please. I have never wanted to see a Lawrence video ever until that moment. Then it came on.
You can probably guess my least favourite show. Your favourite show, Steve. I with the tokens, there was some that really got it and ran with it. Like Robin was great. Lee Simpson was great. Richard Branch. Yeah. It was great.
There was a bit, I mean, if someone didn't know, that token role, so that we all come on. And then the token came on after us to What a Waste, the music by Ian Dury. It's on for 10 seconds. We push him off or her off. Then they come on after the improv. They get to do 30 seconds, a minute of a joke, and we all interrupt. push them off again, and then they come on at the very end and get a balloon. And that was it.
Except when I'm on, they come into the holy water.
Yes.
So I do a routine about lords. And
Lords,
it's Geordie describing a large amount.
I tell you what, though, that worked every night, that holy water. Amazing, wasn't it?
Miraculous. I thought it worked because, like, you emailed us saying, you know, if you could think of something to involve the token. And I was going to get someone up out of the audience. And I thought by the time I've got someone on stage, explain what they need to do, done it, thank them, round of applause. That's half my act gone.
Not that you've worried about that normally before. You just carry on for another 5 minutes.
It was like a lovely bit of involvement. Every night, like when we had the Comedy Store players on, I'd say to them, yeah, I know we've not practiced, but you just have to improvise.
Lawrence, isn't there a court order out on you anyway after you involved the audience in dressing up as Jimmy Savile?
I've apologised for that.
But it's an amazing response you get when you bring out the Jimmy Savile badge. It's extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it. It's like a gasp, isn't it?
For our international listeners, how would you describe Jimmy Savile?
You start. I'm not going to...
A British Bill Cosby.
Although Bill Cosby's not actually been convicted, and Jimmy Savile is now dead. But yeah, other than that, you're right.
Allegedly.
They get the hint.
Allegedly.
What, allegedly dead?
Allegedly, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've forgotten what I was going to say. Yeah, I know what I was going to say. Because I didn't do the Jimmy Savile stuff for ages. And then I had a weekend at the Stand in Newcastle last year. What when I started doing it again, each night after I'd finished, I had person after person come up to me wanting their photo taken, not with me, but with the badge.
Which is the same with was it John, a sound guy?
Yeah.
He couldn't. He had to have a picture with it, didn't he? He loved it.
He lovingly restored it.
Yeah.
To its former
halfway
glory.
Through the run. Yeah.
I like John the sound guy because if he says good show, it was a good show. The people who work for the sound, for the Stand, do not mess about. They've seen it. They've seen hundreds. They've seen everybody. If they say good show, then it
he
was a good show.
A strange character.
No, he was great in that. I mean, when there was a couple of duffos, it's like, no, it's good, solid. It's a good, solid show. But a lot of them was like, this is my favourite show. This is my favourite show in the tent. You're doing better than everybody else. I love being part of this show. And it was really lovely. But I thought, does he say that to all of them?
No, they don't.
Okay.
They've seen everything. They work at the Stand.
There was that funny bit the first couple of nights because everybody else, he sets up the mic, sets up the stage, goes off for 50 minutes while they're performing, comes back at the end, turns it all off, and he's lovely. With ours, you've got to be there all the time. There's so much tech and different things going on.
Yeah. So you've already hassled them. If they say good show, then it's a good show.
Jumping back, the token role, there was a moment that was joyous for me. We've all mentioned Robin Ince, and if you're international, he does a podcast, doesn't he, with
Brian Cox.
Thank you. Yeah. Was it the Monkey Cage?
Infinite Monkey Cage.
So he's kind of really respected, great comedian, does loads of stuff. So he came on and he did, I don't know, about 45 seconds, about a minute. And it was a long joke building up to the punchline. And because he knew everyone was behind him, kind of gnashing, ready to knock him up, he sort of did the punchline and there was a sort of titter. And then you guys behind us went, well, thanks, Robin. I think you've got to be a bit more punchy. Work on that. Be more punchy. And to give him credit, he just smiled and just walked off.
That deflated. Was my first night. And I was shocked. I wasn't really sure what was happening with the... I was absolutely... It's just Robin Ince.
I know.
But it was very funny. I mean, you could soon cut along to what was going on.
They did... What was it? One of the acts said, if you're doing the token role, you've got to leave your ego outside our venue because otherwise you... And if they did, then they got it, didn't they?
Yeah, they understood that. It was very nice, yeah. Your best show, Mr. Minty?
Of our run, I probably mentioned, I think it was that Friday, the last Friday when we had all the disability arts group.
Oh, yeah, when I wasn't there. Yeah,
sorry. And then the following night, we changed the lineup again, and we had what I call the mainstream audience, but this was, we were packed. I mean, it was thronging. And Daniel Lee was there, Lost Voice, Guy Clothes. You were on as well. Oh, no, that was the Saturday. You weren't.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Liz Carr.
So my favourite shows are when you guys weren't here.
Liz
so,
Carr?
Yeah, Liz Open.
Caro, yeah.
The bit, Liz Carr, we know what she's like. She will just say it as it is. She's very rude.
Sorry,
but very
Silent
dark.
Witnesses, Liz Carr.
Yeah, Silent Witnesses. And even she thought, are the mainstream audience going to get this with some of her gags? And but she was filthy and they got it and she loved it. I even, do you remember she does that joke about going over cobbles and it getting quite exciting if you're in an orgasm, it's quite pleasurable. And normally she does a payoff line at the end of it, but this time she mimicked having an orgasm. And because the audience were laughing, she just carried on doing it. She just carried on doing the gag.
I think she was actually having an orgasm.
Well, that could have been it too.
But I just going to think about the show I liked, thinking about it now, was
I remember when they
had cloths over their head at the start. So
because we couldn't get everybody on stage,
quick enough. So were you not there, Steve? So everybody was sat on stage with a big cloth over their heads, and you heard Tourette's hero going, "Fuck, biscuits." She was, you know, talking under the cloth, and so you knew someone was there. And then there's an announcement going on, and she's going, "Fuck it," like that. So it was.
We do need to give that little nod. This was the first time Jess had done stand up, and one of her lines is, I love cats. And then she'll say, I hate cats, fuck cats, screw cats. And then she pauses and goes, I don't really have an opinion on cats. That's just my tics. And she just does this all the way through the set. She's a phenomenon. You've got to see her, Steve.
Yeah, well, I've only seen that she'd been in an audience. She scared me to death the first time. I thought, talk about heckling. This is physical, all-body, modern dance heckling.
Gareth opened when Tourette's was Gareth Berliner, that is. And here's one of his lines was, this is the only show I'm going to get heckled more by the people behind me than the ones in front of me.
But also, funny enough, if she goes on early, I think it's an adrenaline. I don't know for sure, but it seemed to be, you know, heavier when she hasn't been on.
Yeah.
So once she's done her, she's done her set, it's quieter.
It did seem to be that. Yeah, it wasn't complete, but yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So we shared a flat for a bit. I was sharing a flat with Steve Day. I know Lawrence was just around the corner, but I think my favourite moment was one morning I got up and you were still asleep. You were sleeping in the living room at that point.
Yes, because I was promised a room, but Tanya Lee Davis stole it, didn't she? And I didn't want to throw a dwarf at her.
Dwarf twatting. Yeah, it would have been trouble.
It's a taboo.
Yeah.
And there was nothing I could do. Checkmate.
Do you mean Tanya Lee Davis from the John Bishop Show?
Tanya Lee Davis from the John Bishop Show.
Sorry, listener, this is a running joke. It's all coming out. But anyway, I remember coming into the kitchen in the morning. You were asleep. And I thought, I really want a bacon sandwich and started cooking. But I'd been so quiet and, you know, closing the fridge door really quiet. And then I realised you've taken your hearing aids out. Yeah. You just can't hear anything. So to have someone in your living room and you can bang around and it was no problem at all.
Oh, you're doing that, were you? Oh, well, and I mentioned this on stage. There was you there, and you're a small person, and your assistant, small person, and Tanya Lee Davis, another small person. So I've got a bad back from lip reading and loads of dwarfs.
Yay! Every
kids
night.
Stay with me like that joke has for the next 10 years.
What weird experience I remember was when we'd invariably go for a drink after the show.
Yes.
And the place where we were on closed at 12, so often we'd go and find somewhere else in a sort of convoy of scooters and wheelchairs. And when I'm following Tanya Lee and she has a life-size poster of herself on the back of a scooter.
You know what?
Just to explain this, she was doing a show in Edinburgh as well called Tanya Lee Actual Size. So her poster was an actual size of her and it was stuck on the back of a scooter.
And then she stuck a little bit of paper on top saying, "As seen on the John Bishop Show."
There was something joyous. I can't remember which night it was, but there was. So you, wheelchair user, Liz, wheelchair user, Tanya Lee, scooter, me, scooter. I think there might have been two or three others. And I don't know what the word is, but or maybe not quite Reservoir Dogs, but I felt we were just going down the Edinburgh street. We were owning that street. We owned it. There were people getting out of the way. Oh, it was joyous. There was and also people see one and go, "Oh, better get out of the way." But no, we're coming. It's constant. And
all scooters.
Well, there was about six of us, wheelchair, scooters, everything.
Wow. It's the next Tarantino movie.
Like the Wild Bunch. Yeah. Marlon, what are you rebelling against? What have you got?
I do agree that our from our show finishing, and then we'd nip over to the bar. And the first week or so, I'd have a glass of wine, maybe. You know, by the fourth week, buying a bottle, come on!
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
To woof as much wine down as you can.
I remember your parents struggling down a steep bank, slippery, and you with glasses. More wine, everybody, more wine! Everybody must have wine!
And did you know that, actually, when they got home that night, they fell over? Oh. Really did fall over. But
drunk fall over? Or fall
no,
over.
They hadn't really been drinking. It's all a bit awkward.
Although I was stuck once out when we went for a drink afterwards, holding Lawrence's pint because his carer wasn't there. Mind you, it didn't take long to drink it, to be honest. We're down in about 3 seconds. You have to hold it while he drinks it for a straw, and it just disappeared.
Like your carer, Matt was right. He liked his wine as well, yeah. Wasn't he? Like, instead of putting the bottle on the table, he was just holding a bottle with his glass. Yeah.
I think that's what we like about Steve Day, his sort of complete grumpiness to help anyone with a disability. Oh, I've got to do that.
But your arm does get knackered, though, holding his pint.
Yeah, I'd always move away and let you do
that.
Yeah,
no.
So sharing a flat then, it was okay. It was fine, wasn't it? You had a room, I had a room, and then we had another room.
No, I didn't have a room. I did have a room. The living
room.
Offered
a room.
Everybody came in banging pots and pans.
Gareth came after you, and he sat down with Tanya Lee and said, one night he stayed in the living room, and the next day he said, I can't do that again. I'm going to have to move in the room. And I know Tanya Lee's face was a picture. It was a joy to see. It was a joy.
That's Coronation Street, Gareth Berliner, we're talking about.
That's Coronation Street, to John Bishop, to Tanya Lee from John Bishop.
Yeah,
so. But she did jump. She moved into the living room.
But I used to see Tanya Lee, not quite in the nud, but she with a towel on, because she could switch the shower on, but couldn't switch it off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd have to always be in the flat if the shower was on.
Well, shower, switcher on her, turn
switch
her
off.
And
just
photographer.
So,
the weird bit is, I could reach it too, but she never really asked me. I was like way down on the list.
That's true,
she would even try for 20 minutes with a stick.
You never asked
me
to come
me.
In to do your shower. Yeah,
well,
so
now I've got bigger fingers. But
maybe there's a pride thing that she's got to ask someone that's quite a bit taller.
Oh, yes, okay. I was just rubbing it in. Look at my long arms, you diastrophic. Yeah. Just, you got another problem? Let me help you. Unlike Steve Day, I'd be like, blimey, I've got to do it.
I want to dispel this notion. I'm somehow grumpy or bitter.
You're not
all these people off the telly.
You're very funny.
You're ferocious, mate.
Could have been me if I'd have heard the phone ring. I said that once in the... Can't hear the phone ring. All these offers that come in, I miss them.
I thought you were going to be on the telly.
Oh, I am, yeah. Well, my doctor's calling it a colonoscopy. it'll be better than embarrassing bodies or the undateables that Lawrence is in.
I just carry on feeding your lines.
Yeah. You can have subtitles. You can have subtitles.
Yeah.
Don't do your whole set. So flying, the lovely bit with us doing flying is not, as Lawrence said, it's not just you on your own. So... everyone would fly, although Steve Day and Steve Best are like twins. Not only do they look, but they would just, they'd give one out and then just chat for an hour. And then give one more.
Hang on. Simon Minty, you would go round the tables and you'd sit at the table and you'd have a glass of wine more or less.
I ate food with people.
So you were going off and you'd come back an hour later and I said, have you flied? He goes, yeah, I've been around. He's gone to three tables.
He would only fly attractive young women.
I met some brilliant people.
Did they come?
I tried food from all around the world. People love my glasses, they love my Apple Watch. I used to chat to them until eventually they would say, look, have you got a flyer or something? And I'd give it to them then.
But there is certain different techniques, I think. And the problem with flying, I think people find in Edinburgh, is it's grueling, isn't it, if you're trying to get people in, and that's the thing. But in actual fact, you're right, it was much better if you were going in twos.
It is fun. Yeah. There was the Royal Mile, the busy street. So everyone is trying to walk really quickly. And we discovered that, so Tanya Lee would be one side of the pavement or the sidewalk on her scooter, and I'd be the other side. So people are racing down. They see a short person on a scooter and go, oh, I'm going to avoid that. So they go the other side. But the other one is that other side.
Yeah,
there was nowhere to go.
Dwarf pincer movement.
Pincer movement, yep.
Except Tanya Lee was flying her own show as well.
I always find with flying, like in many things, less is more. I think if you make it a bit more exclusive. I made our flyers exclusive.
True. So the stand was saying, rather than give out 100 every time, if you give out 30, then
it's like
that's what I did. Yeah, I did that.
10, 5 you gave out.
Homeopathic flying. the less you gave, the more effective it was.
Very good.
And you just reduced the number of flyers.
Well,
per
then
day.
You were one of the best flyers we've ever had.
I got down to about two a day.
And cured no one.
We had Don Biswas, and we all admire Don. Has Asperger's and dyspraxia.
I don't.
Don.
I thought you said we all admire him.
Oh, I admire his ability to fly because we feel self-conscious, or you either face rejection, or as you said, you empathise with them. They don't want it, so I don't want to give.
Oh, he doesn't bother
Don,
with that, does he?
No problem at all. Hello, come and see four disabled comedians talking about disability in a funny way. Come on, and they were like, "What?" And then he would just move on happily. He just didn't care. Yeah, it was great.
I'd be crushed if people didn't want to fly.
No, totally. The rejection is quite hard. Yeah, but yeah, you're right, Don.
Especially if you're going to do a show later. You want to be in. You want to be out. You want to be in a good mood.
Juliet was quantity. She just gave them out no business.
But, I mean, I've
never seen anyone do it.
But exit flying the show. So
yeah, she managed to talk about all her career, Facebook, and everything, and then before they even.
She's very pretty as well, isn't she? Let's face it. Compared to us lot, well, me and well, speak for myself. But
I think it's just you. Just you.
She's going to get more attention. Flying.
But also exit flying the other shows. If you found a show that had some mention of disability,
Windy Hoos
in the assembly room, was that the assembly room? Yeah, and the Gilded Bloom was the other play.
Not the Gilded Bloom,
Pleasance Dome.
Sugar Water.
So you get like 100 people coming out of there, and Simon would have a line for each. Was it a show?
So Windy Hoos was a play about a woman who has very short legs. And she sends text messages. This guy comes over. It's like a booty call. So they're going to sleep together. He turns up, doesn't realise she doesn't have legs and gets a bit freaked out. And that's the whole premise. So as people left, I'd be saying, comedy with and without legs.
But they would laugh at that. It's very funny. And also the other one in the dome was the...
Sugar Water, which is very sad. It was about someone losing a baby. And it's a tearful, emotional play.
So you would say... You know, less tragedy, more comedy. But there's one day...
More comedy, less tragedy.
Yeah, but the one day I did that to Exit Fly, Juliet Burns' show. And I thought Simon said that's the one where you say, well, more comedy, less tragedy.
So Steve's muddling up the lines for the inappropriate shows. I do need to put this on record as well. There was a second, third last night. I've never seen someone fly so well. He would stand by the board where all the shows are listed. People were coming up. He would have a little chat. And then, boom, they're straight to the box office. And it just, they kept every single one. Wow. And I couldn't believe it. You probably got four people, didn't you? You did, you got loads.
Yeah. I was on commission that night.
Two for ones,
were they? Load, yeah. We did some two for ones. So the venue, where were we with the venue?
What do you think of the yurt?
So just to explain, the yurt is a big tent. It was in St Andrew's Square. There was only two venues in that square. There's the Yurt, which is our one, and there's the Spiegel tent, which was
amazing.
But it worked to our advantage because there's only two venues. Yeah. Lots
so
of
when
bars.
That sold out, they'd come to our show. Yeah.
And also, we were like the only comedy on around that time in that area. And it was an area where people had a drink, hung out. It was quite a big open space.
I agree, but this is always that slightly awkward bit that we're saying. So the Spiegel tent was sold out, come and see our show. There's nowhere else to go, come and see our show. I would even sometimes say, seen that tent, isn't that weird? You can come in for a fiver. Desperate.
Raining.
But also the setup of the venue was there was a tiny little tent at the beginning where people actually thought that was the venue.
You mean like an anteroom tent?
Yeah,
wasn't there?
But you could actually, but that was a little line into explaining, no, there's a tent behind there, it holds this many people.
Like the first time I turned up on the first day with Tom, and Tom pointed at that little tent and went, imagine doing a show in there, Dad. I was like, we are awesome. We are.
But the accessibility, I mean, we did have slight problems. I mean, I thought it was a great venue. There's a few posts in the way. But they were thin posts, but they didn't matter too much. Seating was great. The stage was great, except it was a bit small.
Yeah, I loved it.
But we did have at the beginning, we had to make it accessible with the ramp.
Yeah,
so initially the ramp was just a 45 degree kind of ramp thing. Or
yeah, I mean, what was it, 30 centimetre high stage, but the ramp was like 2 foot. I'm mixing all my measurements, but it should be like 1 in 12, the gradient. This was about 1 in 2.
Metric,
so it was very complicated. But so there was no way. I mean, it was just really. Yeah. But and then gradually
yeah,
we
about 3 cubits long, wasn't it? Yeah, 3.
You weren't there that week, were you? Yeah.
But within the first week, we kept changing it. The carpenter was there. They were changing it and making a turning circle on it.
Oh, I remember you going on about it when I turned up. How much work you done? I had my violin out. Oh, we've had done so much. It's only a ramp.
You know, know that reputation about being grumpy about disabled people. Yeah, it's coming on again. Why do they need a ramp? Can't they just float up?
That's what I used to say. Get on with the show.
You, Lawrence, were you kind of, because there was two ramps, and, well, it was a suggestion, or did we just work out practically? You kind of had to go up one and then wait.
Yes.
Because to go up two and turn. Well, there was that show, wasn't it, where we said, welcome on stage, a fabulous cast, and the whole intro had finished and no one had even appeared.
That was one of the early ones where 30 seconds later we staggered on. But then the next night, Sandy and Leo were compensated. I went, go, go, go. Everyone.
And you hadn't been introduced. You just
Everyone just sat there
waiting for something to happen.
After that, but that thing you had where Lawrence went, it was like pre-boarding on EasyJet. Everybody arm folded. What's he going on there? Why is he going on early? Pay the same for this fare, you know.
Milking it. We got nominated for most accessible venue.
Wow.
Which, bearing in mind,
is that good?
Yeah, it was.
That's
it was
like one of the top awards.
Yeah, one of the top admin. Top admin awards.
Top spreadsheet of the year.
Bearing in mind, we were in a tent that had been just built for that, and we had to build a whole ramp and everything else. I thought we did very well to be in the top four of that. We didn't win.
But, we were in the top four.
Yeah.
No leg show.
No, it was actually the one that it was that one in the dome.
Sad one, no comedy, more sadness.
Yeah, the tragedy. That one.
Juliet Sugar Water.
No. We're all winners.
And Wendy Hoos got something,
Wendy,
I think.
Wendy Hoos.
Well, the other ones were in purpose built venues. Yeah. So I kind of thought, well.
Did all right.
We did all right.
We actually won then the best accessible tent award.
Yeah. Best new building.
I mean, there's no better higher claim, isn't there?
You know what the best bit was? I went to the awards.
Event. You went? Oh, you didn't mention to us.
No, you'd gone then. You'd gone.
Free drinks, were there?
There were free drinks. Yeah, it was the afternoon. I didn't drink. It was the afternoon.
More wine, everybody.
Was that venue accessible?
No, nobody could get in. We waited outside for ages. Of course it was.
Did you invite your mum and dad? Excluded.
I forgot. Oh, that was right. They did the presentation and they started talking about the different places. And they essentially said, and there was that great night we went to see Abnormally Funny People. And then we went for a drink. And then we did. And basically, if it had been the best fun night for the judges, I think we would have won it. But
so the most fun accessible tent. Yeah. Of Edinburgh.
I'm gutted we didn't get that. Yeah, we're putting that on the website.
The most fun you can have in a year.
Yes.
The thing about the tent, though, there was noise. I didn't know. There was disco noise.
Yeah.
It
was from the Spiegel tent.
That was a great show.
Banging out. But also, there was firework noise as well.
Every night.
But Tanya Lee would usually be on at that time.
My hearing aids, it was going... and that was turned out to be fireworks. I thought it was my hearing aids malfunctioning.
I have a lot of empathy now. I have my hearing aid, Steve Day.
Oh, yeah, trying to get in on it now.
Yeah, I completely understand
that. Small D or Big D?
Small D.
Yeah, well, I've seen him do stand-up, so I mean...
So there we go.
Any final... If you could encapsulate that time you're up there, how would you sum it up?
For me, it's loads of fun. 10 years after the original Abnormally Funny People, which was great in its own way and groundbreaking, this was like a return celebration, take the mic and have a go at each other and really have a laugh. And I think there's a future in disabled people slagging each other off. this thought that we all live in the same house and we all love each other. We all get... No, it's not like that. We all hate each other.
Sitcom waiting to happen.
Yeah, I had a ball. It was like all the fun with none of the responsibility. Which was great. And also... I think it's because as a stand-up comic, you basically work a lot on your own. And I think it's one of the first times that I've been in a show with other people and got to share. And as it went on, and we took the piss out of each other more. I took the piss out of Steve Day's recycled material.
But with that, we should also thank the other actors: Liz Carr, Tanley Davis, Don Biswas, Joe Coffey,
Teresa Farlow, Lost Voice Guy, Caro Sparks, Juliet Burton, Gareth Berliner,
Tourette's Hero.
Yay! No, we should get them on.
They're no good.
Keep going.
Me and Lawrence. That was it.
You made it.
I was the best.
And the token. Also, all on the website.
Tandalee Davis off the John Bishop show. She was in it as well, weren't she?
She was.
Yeah, she turned up yakking about.
I love Little Giggles. She had that big poster on, and one night someone stole it. God knows what for.
She got the award for most stolen poster. Yeah. Three times her posters got stolen.
I dread to think what you would do with a life-size image of Tandalee Davis.
And on that note, thank you very much for coming. We're coming to the end of the show, so a big thank you to Steve Day and to Lawrence Clark. We will put up links on our website to their show so you can go and see them.
So, Mr. Steve Day, what are you up to next?
I'm gigging regularly and also supporting Gary Delaney on his tour, which will start again in 2016. Loads of dates. I'm at stevedaycomedy.co.uk or on Twitter, @TheRealSteveDay.
Thank you very much, Steve. Lawrence, what are you up to?
I'm regularly gigging as well. I'm going to do a play early next year called Purposeless Movements.
That's great. That's fantastic, guys. Thank you very much.
Channel 5? Is it?
Just after the Adelable.
I'm going to have to stop this bromance here, boys. Thank you very much for being on the show. It's been wonderful. Thank you all who stay in touch. We love hearing from you, whether it's via Twitter, email or phone.
And you can find out how to contact us via our website, abnormallyfunnypeople.com.
And you'll find the transcript of the show, as well as photos and other bits and bobs.
During our time in Edinburgh, we managed to get another few hundred followers, both on Twitter and Facebook, and went ballistic. So if you are a newbie and this is your first podcast, welcome. Do drop us a line. And that's it for now. Thank you to John and to Daryl, our editors.
And thank you all for listening.